Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with me, Craig Ash.
Hello, everybody.
And no Tom Holmes, we have Andy Gibbons this week.
Hello.
Hello, no Howdy. You thought about the Howdy.
I did, I just thought it might be very disrespectful to Tom's memory.
He's not dead. Tom's not dead.
Oh, okay. Is this just a one-week thing then?
Oh, shit, this is awkward.
Oh, we should have. Right.
This is how Michael Owen got his job. He just turned up and then kept coming back every week, and they're like, Michael's here again. If it works. So, yeah, if you want to keep turning up, Andy, that's fine. But, yeah, we are back. We had a bit of a hiatus with the international week, which we'll talk about in a second. Tom is away. Where is Tom Ash, actually?
Not Devon.
He's on holiday, but not in Devon. He loves Devon, that lad, and a caravan. But, yeah, we are back to talk about the next game week, finally, game week six. And internationals are over. Now, we're going to talk to Andy in a sec. But Ash, did you actually watch them this time? Were they interesting enough with the whole Wayne Rooney record palaver?
I only watched that one, and everybody I knew went to the game, and I didn't bother. So that showed how interested I was.
Yeah. Well, Andy is a staunch Welshman, despite the accent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Presumably, fucking great time.
It's about as as good as it's ever been to be a Welshman.
Yeah.
In the footballing sense.
Since Twin Town came out.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. As a very 90s reference to some
that's
people.
Very and very good film as well.
Yeah, it is a good film.
But yeah, no, like we're gonna do it. We've just got to beat Andorra at home, so we're gonna be at a tournament for the first time. In my lifetime, which
yeah,
is pretty exciting.
Since 1958, Wales in a major tournament. Yeah. And the added comedy to that is that England are obviously there. Northern Ireland should be there.
Yeah.
And Scotland won't be. Which is funny for everyone, right?
Yeah.
That is funny.
I mean,
maybe Scotland.
I think half of the Scottish people don't really want
a
national tournament.
Maybe Scotland and Netherlands can just have a little tournament to themselves.
Yeah, that's great. No, I can't do it. I thought of something. Couldn't get one.
No.
Oh, you could have quite a good little mini group of teams that are totally shit. You could have the Netherlands, Greece, Scotland could all have a little competition.
Yeah, Greece are awful. Greece
should be held in
there.
Greece because they haven't got money to travel anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. They can host it. That'll bankrupt them.
Well, yeah, I was thinking they could do with the income, but they probably can't afford to even host it.
No, it's all under the table. But I honestly think Gibraltar might qualify for a major tournament before Scotland. That's the dream. The day that England, Northern Ireland, Wales and Gibraltar are considered the home nations. That's what I hope for one day. But anyway, the internationals are done and dusted, thankfully. We kind of didn't actually get too much of a chance to talk about the other game week, obviously, apart from on Twitter. So we'll quickly run through some of the results from the most recent game week five. And Andy, Ash and I will say what we did and read through some of your tweets later on as well. But we might as well start with a major talking point. And the first game of the list was Everton beating Chelsea 3-1. Did everyone see that one, Ash?
Yeah, I can't remember it now, though.
Stephen Naismith hat-trick, mate.
Oh, that's yeah, of course. Was. Oh, left foot, right foot, head.
It was. Left foot, right foot, head. Let's, for a second, talk about Chelsea. Because I'll hold my hands up and say, at the beginning of the season, I didn't see how anyone would beat them because no one had strengthened enough to catch up how much better they were last season. And I was completely wrong, obviously. But they look in trouble, don't they?
Yeah,
It must just be a blip. There must just be something going on. Everyone's a bit upset. Everyone's a bit down in camp because they haven't strengthened, but they haven't weakened either. So they're going to come good, surely.
I don't know.
It's fun in the meantime while they are absolutely horrendous.
It's like the podcast. Tom's gone. We haven't strengthened, but we haven't necessarily weakened either.
Well, that's to be
We are only 5 minutes into the podcast, so I don't know. But you say blip, but then how long is a blip? That's the question, because we are a few games in now. Some would argue the title is pretty much over for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, though, is it?
Well, no, it's not.
Well, but
it's September.
It's pretty close to being because they're going to have to. How many games would City have to lose before they'd catch them up? And how many would Chelsea have to win in a row?
I think there was. I can't remember the exact stat, but I remember when Arsenal lost that first game of the season, there was a stat where I think the most amount of games a Premier League winner has ever lost is four or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're needing Man City to get close to that already. So I know what you mean. It's already getting to that point.
I'm sure as Alan Hansen always you said, you lose five games, then you're in trouble. And that's like I don't know how many have lost now, but the Everton one was interesting because obviously from an FPL point of view, Stephen Naismith last year was quite a popular pick.
Yeah.
Because he was playing a lot before Kone had a good season. So he was in a lot of people's teams. I don't think it'd have been in many this team, would he, Ash? Surely not this year.
I wouldn't have thought so because he wasn't even playing, was he, at the start of the game?
No.
unless people preempted the Norwich move that didn't happen and stuck him in, I don't think there's much chance that people had got him in their team.
Yeah, I did think, though, someone might have used the new bench boost that week. And Naismith's a great bench fodder.
Yeah.
Because you know he scores goals. He's an impact sub. He had good scores last season. He's still cheap. But the one thing they didn't talk about as well, by the way, Chelsea fans should be livid. It wasn't shown on Match of the Day, was that he quite blatantly kicked Branislav Ivanovic.
Right.
Something that most FPL player fans have wanted to do for the entire season for being so shit all season. So he probably shouldn't have been on the pitch. But as it stands, it was an absolute doing. And Chelsea are in trouble. From an FPL point of view, again, Ash, have you got any Chelsea players left in your side? And Andy, the same question as set.
Unfortunately, I've still got Hazard and I captained him this week. I just thought, he's got to turn it around eventually. But I also ditched, after last week, talking about how shit Ivanovic was, I ditched him, finally. Yeah. He's still on for the season, 4 points.
That's not okay, is it? He was 7.2 million, wasn't he?
It's terrible.
Or something stupid.
I think he must have started at 7 or 7.5, maybe.
Really? What about you, Andy? Have you got any?
Well, I've got. I did have Ivanovic up until my recent transfer for this coming week. I had to get him out. But I mean, I had a bit of a mare, really, because before the game week started, I did a kind of mess around wild card. What if I do this? What if I do that? And then I left it, and then I forgot to pick my team. So I ended up with the same team that I had before the international.
Oh, no.
So I had Costa as captain. And I had Ivanovic still in there. It was just a bit of a disaster. So Ivanovic is out of there now. Costa is hanging on by the skin of his teeth, which he's probably going to use to eat someone at some point. So Costa's just not really doing it. I think he's part of the problem for Chelsea. They're relying so much on him, and he just doesn't look like he's doing anything.
He doesn't look the same player as last year. The first 6 or 7 games last season, I was excited as a neutral to see, wow, this guy's in the Premiership. He is unbelievable. But Chelsea don't have that kind of... People aren't scared of them. And once you lose that, I think that's a problem. Hazard is the same. Like, Pedro looks their most threatening player most of the time, and he's only just got there.
He scored more points for them than anybody else by an absolute mile.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I just think in any other walk of life, doing the... But they'll come good. They have to. You'd be ridiculed. For some reason in football, you do that going, oh, it has to tell. They have to get better.
Well, because, like you said, that it's not the quality of the team that's changed. It's something else that's changed. So if Mourinho can get that back, then they will start putting the results together. And Man City proved last night in the Champions League that they can be beaten and they're not actually as invincible as they look like they are against Premier League teams. So maybe they could slip up. I mean, it's just a bit early doors to be saying the title's over.
Yeah.
But it's not looking good for Chelsea. And you've got United in there as well, so it's not necessarily just between
Man City
and Chelsea.
The doctor's changed the Chelsea. Maybe that's it.
Do you know what?
She's a witch doctor. She's a fucking witch.
She's a sexy witch.
She's a sexy witch. There it is. That's what you get for having a single man on the podcast. You get Chelsea medical professionals called sexy witches. You don't get that on other FPL podcasts. Other results over the weekend. We had Arsenal beating Stoke 2-0. Walcott in starting it up front on his own and actually getting a goal, proving maybe he can do that. And obviously, whilst we're recording this, Arsenal are currently playing at Zagreb.
Well, the one goal he scored doesn't tell the story of the like 10 that he missed as well. He had a hatful of chances in that game. So there's still a lot of question marks over Walcott.
Especially when Giroud came on and scored anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, Giroud came on. I still like Giroud as a player. I know I say it all the time on this podcast, but from FPL again, I don't think Walcott's... He'll never be over 10% picked, Theo Walcott, ever. In fantasy football, I don't think. But
he's another one I had in my team at the beginning of the season and just got rid of at the wrong time.
Yeah, always away. Callum Wilson.
Callum Wilson. Honestly,
Andy doesn't stop talking about Callum Wilson.
I put him in there. No one had faith in him apart from me. I made him captain in my first week.
You're not Eddie Howe taking credit for Callum Wilson. He was cleaning boots when I found him.
But I made him captain in his first week, and he just did nothing. And then I bottled it, and now look at him flying.
So what is this? So did you take him out of your team?
I took him out of my team.
So what are you even talking about?
He's trying to take credit.
He's trying to take credit from someone you dropped from your team.
No, I'm taking credit for the fact that I knew that he was going to be good, and then I second guessed myself.
Yeah, that's right. I took him under my wing and threw him out of a moving car. He didn't score in the first week. But other results, Man City got a win against Crystal Palace, a hard-fought one as well. But Sergio Aguero limped off injured, still another top striker who isn't justifying his price. He's still 13.6 million, something?
He's far and away the most expensive player. I'm not even sure there's someone 12 point something, is there?
Yeah, but he is also far and away the best striker in the league.
Yeah.
So there's another one of those. But I've got money in the bank waiting for him to start playing.
Yeah, he's 13.2 at the minute.
13.2. Well, he's gone down in price then, I presume, because he hasn't done so much.
He's actually got 12 points so far. That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, 12 points isn't much. When you
Callum Wilson got that in a game.
Yeah.
When you compare it to other players.
No, his price has gone up. He started at 13.
His price has gone up?
Yeah.
How do you justify that?
He got that haircut.
He did get a haircut. He did get a nice haircut.
Well, he scored six points in the second week when they beat Chelsea, didn't they? So then a load of people got him in.
Right.
And then, in fact, he's got... There's not been a week where he's lost people. He's gained every week.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll still wait around. Hopefully he'll get in on some point. And he's just looking up there, actually, the cost of strikers. He's the most expensive striker by a good, 1.2 million?
Yeah, 2.1 million.
Wow. And that's Costa. And Ash, here we go. Little pop quiz for you. Do you know who the third most expensive striker in the game is off the top of your head without looking?
Wow.
The
third most expensive striker?
Yes, you've got Aguero, then Costa. This is a great little fact.
That's mental.
In fact, if you're listening to the podcast, pause it, have a guess, because I'm pretty sure you won't get it. There's a Toblerone if you do.
Giroud?
A white Toblerone. That's a clue. No, it's not. Do you want to know who it is?
Yeah, go then.
Daniel Sturridge.
What?
Hence the racial joke, but a good one, a friendly one. Yeah, Daniel Sturridge is at 10.4 million, yet to kick a ball.
Oh, shit. Madness.
That's mental.
Let's have a click on it and see what picked he is. Because if anyone's got him, give up.
Oh, because he's gone down. So someone had him.
Of course he's gone down. He's not done anything. But 0.2%.
Oh, that's well harsh, though, because he's gone down in price because 390 people got rid of him.
Yeah, well, why would they have him in the first place? He was a red. He's now an orange. But anyway, that's pretty mad that he's the third most expensive striker on there, not having kicked a ball. Also, other results. Norwich gave Bournemouth an absolute do-in, 3-1. Watford beat Swansea. We've got to talk about that. Obviously, Andy here is a Swansea fan. And Andy, actor Andy Gibbons, who starred in the BAFTA-nominated Kajaki, or as it's known in North America, Kilo 2 Bravo. We have American fans, by the way, mate. This is a plug. Plug's worth it.
Then get to your theatres.
Get to your theatre and don't break in. And do they still have drive-ins? I just presume.
I just presume
it's drive-ins. Yeah. But that makes you pretty much the most famous Swansea fan I know, or there is. Are there any famous Swansea fans?
I'm pretty sure Chris Coleman's a Swansea fan.
He doesn't count.
Okay.
Non-football famous.
There must be.
You don't know any, do you?
No.
Who's the best celebrity
maybe
West Ham supporter,
Ash? From that call centre programme.
Maybe.
He played in a charity game. I don't know if... I'm assuming he's probably...
So you've got Nev from the call centre.
Yeah.
Who's the best celebrity West Ham fan, Ash?
There's loads of them. You just have
Russell Brand.
You've got Russell Brand. Yeah, Danny Dyer.
Yeah, just anybody who's got... celebrity TV hard man at the end of their name is a West Ham fan.
Any male working class celebrity probably supports West Ham.
Yeah.
Arts one, that'll be Mr. Ronnie Corbett.
What?
Weirdly, as a Hearts fan, I'm not sure why. I don't know if he's like a token Hearts fan or whatever, but
I didn't see the Swansea game. What happened to Montero?
Montero started on the bench because he was out injured. Am I right?
Yeah. He's just back from injury.
Great player though.
Yeah. Well, except for since I've got him, he's still got 0 points.
Well, he's been out, but he's back. I'd be astonished if he doesn't start the next game, given that Swansea looked awful against Watford.
And then the frustration the next day of watching Nathan Dyer just tear defenders a new one.
I mean,
we've given him away.
We talked about the transfer window and tweeted about it, who was worth bringing in, actually. And Nathan Dyer was one that stood out. I think he's 5.6 million around there, signing for Leicester. He's not a player who was on the outs at Swansea. They liked him. He was good. They just happened to have signed more players. He's an excellent player.
Mm.
And I always Leicester looked so good.
There was a point 2 years ago where I was appalled that Nathan Dyer wasn't in the England squad. He was playing that well. And he's not that much worse now. Like he's definitely got a place in our team. But unfortunately, it's the likes of Montero keeping him out and he wants to play football.
Yeah, he is an excellent addition. But I wouldn't get rid of Montero, Ash, because he's definitely going to start for Swansea next week.
But they've got Everton, haven't they? What do you think? Well, we'll talk about it later, but it's a difficult one to call,
We will talk about the fixture. So but Andy can give us a rundown how we think they'll do from an honest point of view. But Swansea had a bad performance against Watford. Other kind of highlights of that, Man U Liverpool game 3-1. Martial, obviously no one probably put him in. Then all of a sudden, he comes on, scores a goal.
I see you looking at my team.
I can see you looking. It's so weird. We'll talk about it. Now you're on the podcast for the week. In a minute, I'll show you my team. And I've also brought him in.
Okay.
Genuinely. I made my transfer already after Luke Shaw selfishly broke his leg. snapped his leg into smithereens. And I've probably brought him in. But is he someone worth looking at, Ash? Do you think he's going to get enough minutes now? We've been convinced that he's clearly a player, or is it a bit too early still?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised you've both got him in, to be honest. I literally would never have thought to do it. So you guys said, well, you both put him in your team.
Coincidentally, yeah, we haven't discussed it. Andy and I are the most covert players ever. So it's weird that we see each other's team for this one week. But as it's early doors, if we were doing this podcast, if Andy was filling in for Tom in April, this wouldn't be happening. It'd be the most... It would be the most covered up podcast ever. We'd be talking in code. It would be useless. Well, but, I mean, more useless.
The thing is, they don't have any strikers, Man United.
So yeah, exactly.
He's going to play. Surely he's going to play.
But did he play against PSG? PSV?
Yeah.
I think he had a bit of a mixed bag from what I read.
He started, yeah. Man United, in general, were frustrating because they should have won that game. I don't know how they didn't win that game, but they just didn't piece together moves that they should have. There's a bit of inexperience. And in fact, you know, Memphis, who I'm still convinced are going to be a great player for Man U, is the only one who looked kind of comfortable out there, to be honest with you. But Martial, and other new signings, because we talked a lot about it before we go to the break for part two. Did you bring any, Ash? I know we talked about it, but did you bring any of the transfer window signings into your side, or did you leave it, as we kind of said, that most people might?
No, I didn't, basically. I'm just looking at my team. Because I was going to make a triple change, as I saved up and was going to take a four-point hit. And then right at the last minute, change of mind and just ditched Ivanovic and got someone from Man City, basically.
Yeah. I did the whole Terry and Ivanovic. I did the Chelsea dump and got rid of them and brought in Virgil van Dijk.
Oh,
Who I guess would start, like we said last time, he's 11 and a half million on a 5-year deal. Southampton don't sign players out to start on the bench. And he's not like a striker where you can have the luxury of bringing them on for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he came straight in with a clean sheet. And he is a goal threat, having seen him up in Scotland. Not just in Scottish game against Plumbers and stuff, in Europe. So I think he is going to be a player. And now with Martial, I've actually brought in two, which is the opposite of what I thought I would do. And last game, we will actually mention, obviously there were some other results, but last one, West Ham beating Newcastle 2-0, Ash.
Get the fuck in. Yeah. Finally. Jesus Christ, what a mental season. We get done by Arsenal every year. We've not won away at Liverpool for a long time. And I'm saying I couldn't ever remember doing it. Something like 52 years or something, I saw somewhere. I'm sure it's not been since I've been alive that we've beaten them away.
Ash is only 51.
Yeah.
So, listeners, and, so it's a long time coming.
And Payet, who I tipped at the start of the season.
Yeah, he's on the website as your tip. It's in black and white. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, how good is he? Did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, he was just fucking smoking them for fun. Yeah.
He is an excellent player.
He's going to be so good for Liverpool next year.
It's so true, isn't it? You'll go somewhere and you'll have to try and reinvest it and find the new one. But listen, we're all fans of clubs who sell players if they're good. But
very true.
It can go well. Look at, you know, Swansea fans sold Bonny for an extortionate amount of money and he's yet to do anything. So they're probably quite happy with that deal.
And now we've got a player who, when he scores, he gives really homoerotic celebrations.
He does.
So we've won on two fronts.
But Gomez's lion, sexy lion celebration.
Sexy lion.
It's some of the best things I've seen.
It's up there with the sexiest goal celebrations of all time, right?
Well, what an unbelievable question to finish part one on. If you want to tweet us what you think the sexiest goal celebration is, tweet us at the Gapitos.
Off the top of my head, Lee Sharp's one in the corner flag where he does it.
He kind of licked his finger, didn't he?
My head, he's licking everything.
What about the
homoerotic one where Ginola takes his shirt off to flex his muscles?
Yeah, that was quite homoerotic as well. Yeah. Also, Ashley Cole once did a celebration with a mobile phone and a DJ, but he did it about 5 hours after the game at some point back at his. But that's another matter. But yeah, tweet us anyway on all those kind of talking points, really. If you brought any of the new players into your side, if you think we're mental for putting Martial, the Man United striker, in, and how your game week went. We're going to talk about part two. The Gaffer Gambler, some of your tweets. We're going to run through our league, the top 10, talk about where we are in the league. And obviously later on, we're going to talk about the next game week. And Ash has yet another quiz for me and Andy. The name might even be in relation to the quiz. I don't know. You never know.
I tell you what, it's an actual proper quiz. You can play at home with answers. It's a good one.
Actually, I can't. I don't know how serious you are. But it's not Neil or Al.
It is.
Is it?
With a special twist.
Nil or Real is a special. It already has a special twist.
Yeah.
In that it makes no
sense. Nil or Real International.
Oh, dear Lord. Right, so you've got that to look forward to. What a shit thing to say at the end of a part. Loads of people are just going to give up.
No, no, it's good.
Right, Ash says it's good. So that's an ironclad guarantee right there. So we've got all that coming up in part two and part three of the Gaffer Tapes. Welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Ash, and this week, Andy Gibbons.
Hello.
Hello again. We just talked through a lot of Game Week 5, our laughing at Chelsea, our hatred of internationals, and Ash boasting about West Ham. We didn't get time to run through the actual league, the Gaffer Tapes League, the reason we're all here. Well, the reason we're here, you might be here by accident. But the top 10 of the Gaffer Tapes League, and there's still no sign of last year's top dogs, Ash.
No, I did spot them in the league, but you do have to scroll down a little bit, unfortunately.
You do. And why should we?
We scroll? Find those fucking Johnny Wong clicks over there.
They've earn their mentions.
Yeah.
Top of the league, we'll have a quick rundown. Is a Cameroonscape by Cameron Hunt, still quite impressively at the top. In second place is The Cucking Funts by Alex Robertson. That's just smutty. No, that's smutty. That's a shame. Number three is Challenge Everything by Mitchell Barthurst. I think that's his real name, which is... I was about to make fun of that.
More of a highbrow this year.
And then you say highbrow because the fourth manager is Sir Flange.
Brilliant.
And he manages Crimea Riviere. In fifth place, it's Flaming Moes, Michael Cabrera. He was a big player last year. JRB defending in sixth place. Elliot Levy in seventh place. Luis Colari with Roberto Firmin U. It's very homoerotic there in eighth. The Isle of Nabumbu. In ninth with Germielde, who I need to hear about. Who is this Germielde? Tweet us. And in 10th place is Head Over Heart. That makes up the top 10. Saidi Lugogo, who had two teams, is down to 11th. I think he's suffering the price for putting in two teams, the bastard.
A lot of time out of your week.
Mm. Have you seen the person at 16?
16, I have. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this, actually. In 16th place is a team called Rapid Gibbons.
Oh, okay.
The namesake of Andrew Gibbons here.
Is it spelled INS?
It's spelled INS. It's not Gibbons. Okay. And managed by Chris Gibbons, which I believe is the name of your father.
No, you believe wrong. This is embarrassing.
No way.
It's not the name of my father. It is the name of one of my cousins, though. So there's every chance. It could be Chris Rowley Gibbons, as he goes by.
Is he ironically fat?
I don't want to be the one to say that. He said it himself. That's the name he goes by on Facebook.
So his name's Rowley.
His name on Facebook is Chris Rowley Gibbons.
Is he rapid?
He
is at 10:28 going past the McDonald's.
No. I would say he's probably not rapid, no. maybe it's ironic, so it could well be him.
But you know what? We can't laugh because he's bloody 16th in a near 600 team league. So congratulations, Chris Gibbons. Get into the top 10 and maybe we'll get you on the show and we'll relegate this Gibbons.
Yeah.
Or maybe have both the Gibbon eye.
Maybe.
On the show.
Family affair.
Who knows? But yeah, I did notice that, Ash. Yeah, Gibbons. We got the wrong fucking Gibbons, mate.
I know.
This
has
got really...
But did he appear in Kajaki, BAFTA-nominated film?
Probably. He probably bloody directed the thing now.
Now that he's 16th in a big league.
Yeah,
has he co-starred to a horse in a major...
No. Has he co-starred a horse in a major pizza advert? Has he starred opposite a peacock in a football advert?
Okay.
Do you get offered any adverts where you don't have to co-host with
He only does
animal?
It. It's in his contract. He only has adverts of animals.
Do you have this... Thing
It was a stretch for the Virgin one because it's actually an animatronic animal, and I normally insist upon it being a real animal.
Yeah.
Is it like, I assume that your resume has like a list of special skills you've got, and you've like put animal handling
on it? You
should
have that. You should have animal handling.
Like,
animal wrangler, peacock wrangler.
Yeah.
They make good money wranglers, by the way.
Yeah.
Animal wranglers.
I'm not sure what animatronic peacock wranglers, mate.
I don't know if they have animatronic wranglers, no.
It's as a acting side job goes, it's probably not the worst.
No, probably not. That's true. But enough of that. Enough of that tomfoolery. But it is quite sad that none of us presenters or guest presenters have ever appeared as high as 16th. So we really need to sort that out, because I'm down in 200.
Oh, no, shut up. I was fourth last season.
Fuck off. You were fourth.
I was.
When?
Just before I went to Belgium and fucked up my team.
Alphabetically, mate.
No, I was fourth.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well. Went out because I had Yaya Toure as my captain for 8 weeks and he got 10 points every week. I went fourth. Then
yeah.
I went to Belgium. He went to the Cup of Nations and neither of us were ever seen again.
You went to Belgium? How did that affect it? Did you have a conversation?
Yeah, because I drunk loads of... cherry beer, didn't I? And then used my wild card.
Yes, cherry beer, of course. Yeah. I remember the stories now. But 16th, we'll try and beat Chris Gibbons. That's the aim now, Andy, for you, to get by Chris Gibbons.
Yeah, I mean, that's never happening if you look at my league position.
Yeah, but in our league, anything can happen. You can jump up.
I'm on page 8, damn it.
Yeah,
page 8?
Yeah.
I'm on page...
I don't even think there were 8 pages last year.
No, we've got bigger.
And now I'm on page... Motherfucking 8.
Mate, next year it will be a case of being a 20-click wanker.
I think we might have to go through our league positions.
I don't think we should.
I don't know. I think now might be the best time.
I'm almost certainly the worst of the three of us.
I'm down in 200. I think I'm 262, I think.
262?
I think so. I'm pretty bad.
I'm 380.
Wow, 380.
380.
Where are you at now, Ash?
36.
No, you're not.
So I thought you weren't mentioning it. I thought you were cock blocking me.
How?
It's my fucking skills. I've not even used my wild card or anything.
No, I've not used. To be fair, I've not used any chips.
I've not used anything.
No.
No wild cards, no chips.
Yeah.
Damn special chips.
Well, so how many points did you get this week, Ash? Because that's huge.
67.
Wow. That's a great. Who did you have to do that? Was it Mahrez? And Payet.
Payet, Mahrez. Yeah, basically, that was it. And then Monreal, Cedric, and Sagner as my defenders.
Clean sheets.
Yeah.
Sagner, I'll be honest, is another look of mine for one-legged Luke Shaw.
I did notice that the person who got the highest score this week, 111 points. Bearing in mind the average this week was 41, so that's a fucking good score for this
week. Wow, 111 points.
Yeah, triple captain Payet.
This week, oh my word. 26 points because of... I say because of my forgetting to pick the team, but in actual fact, the only thing that I would have changed is my captain choice, because I only had 10 players that actually played, so that 10 would have stayed the same anyway, and I just wouldn't have picked Costa. I probably would have gone for Ayew, so I would have maybe had 2 points more, so it was just a disaster for me anyway.
I still think we'll catch these people using their chips and getting 111 points though, Ash. Us sensible people who use those chips on double game weeks are going to make up so much ground on them.
Sorry to interrupt. Roma have just scored a mental goal.
Right.
They've just scored that from the halfway line against Barcelona.
Yeah, but this is you commentating, so that could be a penalty.
No, someone's just literally done exactly the same goal Beckham done. You know, like, on the halfway line.
You say literally, that means it has to be exactly the same.
It is literally exactly the same.
Right, okay. Well, we're currently recording this during Champions League games, as you can tell. We've got the Arsenal game at our end, so we'll keep you posted if anyone literally scores
Peacock. If by the time you listen to this podcast, you've not seen a vine of that goal, I will be shocked.
Really? That good?
Yeah.
Well, we'll check that as soon as we finish recording. We will, now that obviously I'm back here after internationals, a little bit of gaffer gambler, some odds of some of the stuff we usually look for. Should also say, as much as I hate the internationals, I did tweet quite an astonishing tip that Iceland would beat Holland with some others that actually netted me 1,400 quid if you followed that from a £30 stake.
So Jesus Christ.
If anyone followed that tip. And then after that, some guy tweets, says, you got any more tips? And I put Scotland on a coupon. He went, shit tips, mate. I was like, fuck off. 800 quid yesterday, nearly.
Some people were just never happy.
No, Scottish people.
Scottish people, yeah.
Mainly. But given last season, Andy, I don't know if you listened to them all. Lie, if not.
Oh, absolutely, I did.
Yeah, we went through the sack race quite a lot.
Of course, yeah.
And odds for the next manager to either sack or quit, even though it's called the sack race, you get odds of them just not being the permanent manager. So at the moment, Ash, who would you say is favourite in the sack race?
I don't know, see?
Andy?
Apart from Mourinho.
No, everyone in the league. Who is favourite in the sack race?
I mean... It's tough, isn't it? Because I mean, you would think that McLaren is probably there, but he's so new that you just think it's not going to be someone who's just come in the summer.
I know. Sorry, I know Mourinho's gone down to like 6-1 or something, hasn't he? From 100-1.
Mourinho is exactly at 6-1. He's the third favourite. Mourinho at 6-1.
I would say probably, I don't know, Sherwood.
Sherwood's at 14-1. He's fifth favourite. Second favourite's at 3-1, and it's Dick Advocaat.
Really? What about Rodgers?
Rodgers is the favourite.
Oh, yeah.
At 6-4, Brendan Rodgers is the favourite. And Jurgen Klopp's been gone down to 9-4 to be the next Liverpool manager.
Yeah.
So I don't know that. I mean, they're short odds for rumours.
I mean, if they can get Klopp, they would get Rodgers out, I think.
If they can get Klopp tomorrow, then give Rodgers a call tonight.
Yeah.
Call Brendan tonight so that he can, you know, watch Bake Off in peace.
I heard an interviewer saying, I think maybe to Rodgers, is this like another transitional season? And I think after the amount of time he's had, you can't really afford to have transitional seasons anymore. Like, you just need to start producing.
Mate, he's had longer transitional period than Bruce Jenner. he does not need any more. Like, it's ridiculous now. Yeah. And I'm a bit of a Liverpool sympathiser. I always want to do quite well, despite Tom and Ash's absolute hatred of him. Liverpool bashing is quite common on the podcast. But the money he's spent.
But again, is it too early to be firing somebody, regardless of if they've had a bad start to the season? If you've given them the whole summer and you've given them all this money, is it too early to fire someone now?
Depends whether you've got a replacement or not. Like, if he wanted to come, or Guardiola for some reason was going to go, he'd fire them, but not if you've got no replacement.
I think that's it. I think they wouldn't ideally sack him now, but if, say, Klopp wants it and tells them he wants it, then you get him in early. But unless you're in danger of being relegated or something that's a financial devastation to your club, then it never makes sense to do that. So people like Advocaat, McLaren, it's never too early if you think that it could go down. I think of those odds, McLaren at 12-1 is an excellent bet.
But I mean, he's had like, what, 5 games as manager?
He's had nothing, but I'm telling you now, if he loses the next 4.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like he's in five games
by football standards is a bit of a lifetime sometimes. So maybe they've got
Watford this weekend at home. It's a very winnable game. If he loses that game, those odds shorten.
Tough fixture at Watford.
Yeah, those odds shorten. If he loses to Watford, that you're looking at 6 or 8 because they can't lose that many. They're on them and Sunderland are 2 points from 5 games.
Where you're rated by UEFA on how well you do in the Champions League, your coefficient.
Yeah.
And we're not far from losing ours because this year Chelsea's one that was 5 years ago drops off.
Right.
So it kills our coefficient because since then we've not done anything.
So you lose your fourth place.
Yeah, so we could do if the teams have a shit.
Do you know what? It wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. Like, it's a complete fallacy that the Premier League is instantly better than a lot of other European leagues. Yeah. Last night proved it.
Exactly.
The Champions League results last night, Tuesday, as in Man United and Man City.
The last couple of years has proved it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really funny as well that when they were talking about giving the fourth spot up to the FA Cup, all the fans of like Tottenham and Liverpool came out saying, oh, it's stupid. It should always be in the Premiership. It's much harder. Think how much better it'd be if it had gone to the FA Cup. And now they're going to lose it completely and they're never going to get in the Champions League.
No, yeah, 3, yeah, they're not getting third place unless some British teams start winning the Champions League to get that coefficient back.
They'd be better off. Man United, Man City and Chelsea would be better off getting knocked out of the Champions League so that then, perpetually, they're the only 3 that can ever get back in it again.
Yeah, or move to Gibraltar. Move the club to Gibraltar. There you go, they've got places. Always about Gibraltar. Another special, which is quite a good one, I quite liked on Paddy Power, is who will leave West Brom first, Saido Berahino or Jeremy Peace, which is quite good. But it's 20-1 on for Berahino to go first. But if you've got a spare 20 grand kicking about and you want to make a grand, it's the easiest money anyone will ever make.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Peace is 7-1. And then I quite liked, given it was Internationals Week, I thought I'd look up odds for making the England Euro 2016 squad.
Okay.
With a few interesting picks in there. So the obvious ones are all very short.
What Charlie Austin's odds are.
I knew very much you'd ask that one. So Charlie Austin, who Andy is still livid, is playing in the Championship and not getting an England call-up.
Well, even in the Championship, he needs to be in the England squad.
Yeah.
It infuriates me.
He is 9-2 to get in the England squad.
Wow, that's mental.
Daniel Sturridge is evens. And I'm telling you, if Daniel Sturridge gets fit, he is in that squad.
It doesn't matter.
You're not betting on him getting in the squad there. You're betting on him being fit.
Yeah.
And that's what? In that month.
He's evens to get in the England squad?
To get in the squad for the Championships. And that's purely based on injury. That's excellent odds.
Wow, that's incredible.
Another one that I quite liked on there is Luke Shaw is 21-10. So he's 2-1. Okay. Again, that's purely a fitness and leg thing, but yeah. They're saying it's 6 months. Luke Shaw, given the, if he gets anywhere near the form he has, he's definitely going to Euros if he plays like he did the first five games.
But it just depends whether or not that leg heals, because there's been all these stats today of how long it's taken this person and this person and this person. So I think it is going to be touch and go. Some people have done it in 3 months.
And then given Swansea, Jonjo Shelvey is 5-2 to make that squad.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No.
I'd love to see him there, but I'm just not convinced he will be. It's a shame because there's not many England players like him where their instant thought is going forwards.
Yeah, it is nice to have that.
Yeah, I think sometimes you need that just as an option.
But we'll keep an eye on that bet, because obviously nearer the end of the season, what you can do is actually pick your squad by odds. Okay, so it's the part of the podcast where we go through some of the tweets that you've been giving us during the week. It doesn't feel right to do the jingle without Tom.
This has got really awkward again.
I don't know if we should make guests of the podcast.
Let's
sing
get over it, right? I'm not Tom. Let's just all fucking get over it, right?
But we can't make. I don't think it's polite to make guests sing 90s reggae based pop, and I think that's probably important.
And I'd flat out refuse as well.
Well,
I don't know if you can.
If you want me to wrangle a peacock, then I'm your man. But reggae is certainly not.
So you couldn't do like. Tweets like chocolate.
Oh, I could. Yeah. And I could nail it.
Well, I've just done it.
I hear a lot of big talk from the Gibbons over there. Fucking, you get these international actors coming on.
You're thinking of Chris Gibbons.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're thinking of Chris Rowley Rapid Gibbons.
Yeah, the big man in the Gibbons family.
Gibbons would have done it ages ago. Rapid Gibbons would have done it before we started recording.
Yeah.
But he's not here.
No, he would have picked Wilson week two.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't have dropped Callum Wilson. He stood by him. Yeah. He stood by his man, like Dolly Parton.
He would have put a big loving arm around him.
And for anyone who's into country music, I apologise. It was actually Tammy Wynette. But I don't feel like anyone would have picked up on that.
Oh, no.
But anyway. So a couple of tweets. We've got Scotty Douglas, Scotty Too Hotty Douglas, tweeted us saying he's got to try something different this week because he can't be a four-click wanker. Well, to be honest, mate, there's a six-click and an eight-click here, so don't worry about it.
I'm dreaming of four clicks right now.
Oh, I dream of four clicks. We've got Danny Sosik, who is, I think you know who Danny is, Danny McGeegan. He wrote, "Hi, guys, the champ here, just checking in with you guys. Hashtag all out attack, hashtag balls, hashtag six-click wanker." So Danny McGeegan, last year's champion, is currently a six-click wanker.
Wow.
So that's big news. A tweet from Steve Clift. Who writes for our blog, some excellent stuff for our blog, a league review every time. He said, just like a Paul McKenna audiobook, Tom's having an influence. He's captained Harry Kane. So if ever you needed not to listen to Tom.
Always.
Yeah, I know he's had a good start, but come on. And then we had a tweet from current leader Cameron Hunt.
Nice.
He said, dear the Gaffer Tapes, dear at the Gaffer Tapes, which is very formal. I like that. Mm. Do I get a Toblerone, spelt wrong? Lost point. Do I get a Toblerone in the post for being top for August? Chunty. I don't know what chunty means, but it sounds offensive. P.S.
I think if the C from his first name,
yeah,
if you put that in front of the
surname, it's a nickname. Chunty.
It's clearly a nickname.
I think we get to do the nicknames around here, Hunty.
Yeah, Chunty.
Hunter. Hunt.
Gladiators Hunter.
Gladiators Hunter. Exact. The Hunt for Red October. I think we get to do the nicknames around it. Any others? Hunt and Dennis. No?
No.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Ash, any?
They were so bad, I daren't even...
You went very... No need for nicknames, Cameron. You're off the hook. Ash is speaking in West Country. You've been saved. But he says, PS, or at least a guest on the show. Well, I think you have to win more. I think the rule was, if you get three manager of the months, three top 3 months, you get a Toblerone.
Yeah, that's true. He was manager of the month for August.
He was got to do. But yeah, it was pretty obvious for August because it's only the first month.
Yeah, but I think we were still probably supposed to say.
All right, Cameron Hunt, you are manager of the month for August.
Congratulations, Chunty.
Well done, Chunty.
I'll be respectful enough to his nickname, even if you won't.
I'll put up some streamers, some chunting.
Okay.
Nowhere. But yeah, so if you get it two more months, Chunty, then you get a Toblerone, the proper one with an E, not like an A. And we also had a tweet from Dave Mateo, who he just mentioned FPL on a university application. It'll either be genius or my downfall.
Oh, we can answer that for you. It'll almost certainly be the latter.
The good news is, though, next season you will have more time to do your FPL team because you won't be going to university, Dave.
Wait a minute, what's he put on the application form? That he listens to it.
No, but he does FPL. He's mentioned not Gaffer Tate. He's mentioned FPL.
Oh, right.
So I think he's used, you know, like, give me an example of when you've overcome something difficult. He's like, well, Costa got suspended.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you're really putting your eggs in one basket as to who's reading that form. Because if it's someone like me or you, he's getting a place.
Yeah, but people like you and I don't get to decide who goes to university for that very reason.
Yeah.
He's put his eggs in the basket and missed the basket.
For me, it would just be loads of hot girls and Dave at university.
It would be just Dave Mateo and a load of hot girls.
Yeah.
And the sexy witch doctor.
Yeah.
From Chelsea.
Well, she doesn't need to go back to uni.
And Dave Benson Phillips.
Sure.
Yeah.
Always.
But yeah, don't put FPL on university application, because we had some school kids listening last year.
But he could just, you think about it the other way, he could just put just a blank piece of paper with just no click wanker on it.
That won't get him in, Ash.
Well, it could.
Well, it depends what university, to be fair. It's like one that advertises on telly.
No, like a decent university, like Oxford, like, would appreciate that kind of thing, wouldn't
it? If it's Abertay or Teesside or Bangor, probably get you in.
Yeah.
Mm. That'd be right.
Like East London Technical College or something.
Yeah, one of those. The ones, if it advertises on a telly, it's not a good uni. That's always the rule, isn't it? I don't know. But tweet us, Dave, actually. Tweet us back, because we want to know why you put on your application, what university you're applying for.
And how did you get on?
Yeah, what course? Did you get into uni?
Yeah. What course are you now doing at Angular Ruskin?
Yeah. Oh, wait, God, what if we've named one of the universities he's actually applied for?
And why is he applying in September?
Dave, you've got it all wrong. Dave, listen, mate, they've started uni. Oh. You've had a nightmare. But let us know, Dave. And obviously just tweet us anything, really, at the Gabba Takes, whether it's pictures of your team for the game week, any betting slips, any questions you want to put to us, and we will actually answer seriously.
University rejection letters.
University rejection letters. Get them on as well. Anyone who can incorporate the gaffer tapes into one of their Tinder profile photos, that'd be great. Let us know about that.
Yeah.
And also, we should say that the FBAs, the Football Blogging Awards, which are a real thing that we didn't make up, it's at the FBAs on Twitter, have just opened their nominations. So if you would like to nominate the gaffer tapes for best podcast, then all you have to do is tweet them saying that you're nominating us with a hashtag podcast, and that nominates us for an award. And that'd be good to win. I want to know they actually exist.
And if two cast members of X on the Beach have got time to do it, you damn well have.
Yeah, there's people from X on the Beach. There's more than two, I think, now.
Oh.
And some people from Love Island. So if people from Love Island and X on the Beach want to
do it, if they can do it before they leave for their club PA appearance that night, then you fuckers can do it.
Yeah. And I'm going to have Annika Rice nominating us by the end of the week. You heard it here first.
I believe you.
Yeah. So do nominate us for the FBAs. That'd be great if the Gaffer Tapes could mix it with some of the big boys, whoever they are. They're probably better than us, but we'll have fun. And we'll Periscope live from the place. We'll do that. But coming up in part three, we've got Ash's international version of Neil or Real, which is worrying for everyone, which will almost certainly eliminate us from getting nominated for an FBA if it's ever listened to.
It won't. It'll be the one thing. They'll have seen it. The guy who's doing the awards will have been to university with this bloke.
Yeah. Mate, if anyone at that award ceremony even mentions that they liked Neil or Real, I'll let you set my team for the first week next year.
The special section.
How about if you get nominated, then you agree to let the clip that they use for the montage when they say "and the nominations are" be the Neil or Real?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
You probably qualify for coming along for a ticket now, mate. You've been here a few times.
I didn't want to say anything, but where is the hat trick ball?
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's your third time, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's my third time.
It is your third time. Oh, that's good. I think you might be our first three-time guest, actually.
Well, that's pretty insulting to all the other three-time guests, but there you go.
Have we had other three-time guests?
Max must have been, though. James?
Mike Drabniak, Max. Maybe. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Andy's the most handsome. Yeah. According to Tom, so we'll be all right. But yeah, coming up part three, we've got Neil versus Real International, and a quick look at some of the fixtures for game week six, and maybe we'll discuss what we're going to do for that. And all that's coming up in part three of the Gaffer Takes. Hello and welcome back to part three of the Gaffer Tapes with Craig, Ash, and this week actor Andy Gibbons and Swansea fan. I don't know which one you want first. You want Swansea fan first or actor?
I've been a Swansea fan for longer, so
we'll go with that.
We'll do that.
But obviously Tom is not here. He's on holiday sunning it up in Spain. The good news for Tom is that means that Andy is subbing in for him for the quiz for Tom versus Craig. And I think it's safe to say he is the only person who's performed worse than Chelsea this season. He has been fucking awful.
In fact, he's got less points than Ivanovic.
Yeah, exactly. He does. I'm not entirely convinced that everyone stays tuned for part three due to how chaotic and ridiculous it can get. But, or maybe it's your favourite part. I don't know.
Better fucking be.
It's like the bit at the end
of pressure on me right now.
Are you feeling it?
Yeah. I really don't want
to. But you love a quiz.
That just adds to it.
And Tom really is bad.
Yeah, but I don't want to ruin his holiday.
There was an episode of Have I Got News For You where Paul Merton said he hadn't read the papers for a week in an attempt to make it like a bit more difficult. That's Tom every week.
Okay, well,
so we'll see. So
he's not watched any football in 32 years to make it harder.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be all right. So it's Neil or Real. Give us a rundown, Ash.
Right, we're playing Neil versus Real International Edition. In the regular edition, you have to tell us whether a team is Champions League or Europa League. This, we're going to see how much you've learned during the international break. Right. All you have to do is tell me which of these two teams is ranked higher according to the official FIFA nonsense rankings.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
This all sounds too sensible.
It's very sensible. It's very boring. I actually wrote down the answers and everything.
This is good. In which case, if you're listening...
Because the rankings are fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got England in the top 10.
They will. But yeah. There's a chance this might be good if you're listening. So play along. Get some pen and paper. Pause it.
Okay.
Give someone a compliment.
Yeah.
Have a hug. Come back. Play the quiz.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Remember, we're ready, mate.
Yeah. If you need thinking time, the silences get cut out. So... Don't worry.
It's 4-0. 4-0 to me. So that's what Tom's got a lot to play for.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Right, come on, Gibbo.
We won't need thinking time. We're just going to go. Right, when you're ready.
Okay, first one. Who is ranked higher, Argentina or Brazil?
Well, that's a tough one right off the bat, isn't it?
These are all quite difficult.
That is a tough one right off the bat.
I think
we're doing we're playing along answer by answer once you've written them down, haven't we?
Yeah, I think you should. If people play along at home,
yeah,
they're all... It's quite difficult. See what you get.
Right, have you got an answer, Andy?
Yeah, but I don't ever want to change it.
Are you done? You got to do it.
He locked in.
Just put the L on the
end. He's done. So I've gone Brazil.
Both wrong. Argentina.
Both wrong.
So Argentina ranked the best team in the world.
Are they ranked one? Well, that is a bad start that we know so little about the rankings, we don't even know what number one is.
Yeah.
So that bodes well for the next nine questions.
So right, Argentina are first, Brazil are fifth. To put this into some context.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Second one is Belgium. Germany.
Oh, see, are you double bluffing us? See, do you know what? I think I've got it. I've got that. See, you got it's ridiculous, though.
This is mad. This is
madness.
This is quite
right. Territory. Have you got yours?
Yeah.
What have you gone for?
I've gone with Germany.
I've gone with Germany
it's
as
got
well.
Got to be Germany.
Zero out of two. You're doing a Chelsea. It's Belgium.
I thought you were double. They're the world champions.
That's crazy. How is that even possible?
Belgium haven't done anything.
No, they've just got a really strong bench.
It's done in a four-year cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is going to be like one of those things where someone, what's his name, is going to tweet in and say, actually, you've been looking at the female basketball rankings.
Yeah, you mean someone's going to tweet in and say you got it wrong? Every quiz you've ever done.
Fuck, I thought I was all right for this one.
Right.
Okay, so what is it so far? 0-0?
0-0, which we're okay with.
Okay, easy one here.
Okay.
England-Wales.
Wow. I think
okay.
I've gone Wales because I know it's Wales.
I know it's right. So if you're saying we're wrong, then we might have to go back to the drawing board.
No, you're right. It's Wales.
It's Wales.
Okay.
So Wales have got in this weird system, they've got 1,146 points, and England are 3 points behind them.
Hey, they're the most informed defence and team in Europe. I wouldn't want to play them right now.
We're ninth and tenth in the world in the rankings. Yeah.
Mad to think. This is why the rankings are crazy. England and Wales are only one place apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What
it's
about...
It's a testament to Christos Kolmanopoulos.
Yeah.
What about Spain-Portugal, then?
Ooh. Right. I've got it. Bloody got it. I've got it. Have you got yours?
No.
Quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it to you right now. Is there in it?
Yes.
I've gone with it. I think Tom's there on holiday. I think it's Spain. I think it's a double bluff.
I've gone Portugal.
Oh, it's only Portugal.
Yes.
How the fuck can that possibly be possible? Spain have been the most dominant team in about a million years. Portugal have never done fuck all.
Again, but in that 4 year cycle, they've won a major tournament in the last 4 years.
Mental.
Yeah.
It's right.
Fuck. Okay,
one,
so
it's 2-1, Andy.
So Portugal are sixth. Spain are 11th.
Crazy.
11th.
Okay. What about this one?
England are better than Spain, apparently.
England and Wales are better than Spain.
Yeah, I mean, the Wales, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Colombia, Uruguay?
Jesus, right.
Okay.
Okay, I've got mine. What have you got?
I've gone Colombia.
I've gone Uruguay.
Fuck me, Craig.
Is it Colombia?
It's Colombia.
It can't keep being the opposite of what you think.
No, but that makes sense. Colombia makes sense.
Does it?
Colombia had a great World Cup.
Yeah.
Did Uruguay? I don't remember.
I think you probably went Uruguay because of Suarez. That's what I've thought.
Well, Uruguay, I knew Uruguay progressed from the group because they beat England.
James Rodriguez.
Yeah, Falcao.
Right, so it's 3-1. I need to... 3-1. Right.
Okay, so Colombia are 4th, Uruguay 8th. Okay, how about this one then? Greece, the Faroe Islands.
Jesus Christ. Right. I've got my answer and I've got my logic for how I'm going to describe, say why I've gone for it.
Okay, I've got mine.
What have you got?
I've gone Greece.
I've gone Greece because I think their recent form's too recent to plummet them that low.
Although they haven't won a game in the group.
No, so, they have been awful, but I still think it's not enough to plummet them below Faroe Islands.
Although,
shit, if you go comparatively...
Faroe Islands were, I think it was like... But in the seedings beforehand, it was between us and Faroe Islands, and they pipped us.
Oh, wow, okay. We've so got maybe, this wrong, haven't we? What so is it, Ash?
Know, but I've gone Greece.
It is Greece. They're 44th, and Faroe Islands are 75th. But points-wise, they're not far. There's only 200 points in it, which is the same as the difference between... There's a smaller difference between them than there was between Colombia and Uruguay, who were 4th and 8th, so they're not really that far apart.
Right. Well, we both got that one, so it's no good to me.
So what's the score?
4-2 to Andy.
Oh, my God. Okay. Next one. Romania and the USA.
Okay. Got mine.
Okay, I've got mine.
What you got?
I've gone for the home of the Braves.
I've gone USA.
Yeah, same.
Classic mistake. What? Romania. Because the USA are always favourites on this, aren't they? They're normally about 4th in the world in the FIFA rankings. But they've slipped to 28th for some reason. And Romania, who I can't ever remember winning a game since Georgi Hadji retired.
Yeah, there must be more points awarded.
Sorry,
to
Romania
games
are
against...
where?
Romania are 7th.
7th?
What?
Yep. Ahead of the teams that we've mentioned so far, they're ahead of Spain, England, Wales. Yeah, amazing.
For once, you're not the mockery situation. Right, so it's still 4-2, so I'm in big trouble unless I get 3 on the bounce.
Okay, here we go. It's 3 left then. Japan against the Republic of Korea. The Korean Republic.
Oh, Jesus. The good Korea,
yeah. South Korea.
Well, North Korea are number 1 in their rankings, and 2 and 3. right, I've got mine. I've gone South Korea.
I've gone Japan.
I need this.
Oh, Craig, you've got a point.
Oh! Get in. Andy is a notorious bottler.
Oh, shit.
It's 4-3.
Oh, Tom's going to be doing his nut listening to this. So, Japan are 58th, Korea are 57.
Finally. Most sensible thing you said all day.
Okay. What about this one then? Djibouti.
Djibouti, yeah.
And Mongolia.
Ooh. Okay, I've got mine. Do you know what? I don't mind, because it's getting towards guesswork, as long as Andy are on different answers, because I need it.
Okay. 4-3. I don't know how you spell it, but I've gone Djibouti.
I've gone Djibouti.
No, Mongolia, narrowly. Yeah.
Do you know what I did? This is really bad. I shouldn't admit this. This isn't cheating, by the way.
Oh, and what?
I listened to how long you were writing for and worked out whether I thought you were writing Djibouti or Mongolia.
That's cheating.
Oh.
That's not cheating. I listened to...
Wow. I need to write quiet.
Right. I'm deducting a point.
That's mental. You can't do that.
What is the score?
It's 4-3. I need this to tie up.
Oh, it's still... All right. Last one.
Yeah. Come on. What are these countries going to be?
The Republic of Ireland.
Oh, that is a ridiculous country.
Northern Ireland.
Oh, you see. That's a great question.
Okay.
That is, and they've both got the same amount of letters, which is great when you abbreviate them.
Yeah.
So I think I've got mine, I think.
Oh, no. I'm really scared. I don't want to ruin this.
I've gone for it.
Okay, I haven't decided.
I'll be livid. Yet. I'll be livid if it gets wrong.
I'm just writing Ireland now. And I'm deciding what I'm going to put in front of it.
Are you going to go in or
the dot as well?
The thing is, I think this is the most tense decision anyone's had between choosing between Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland. And maybe that underplays the troubles. I don't know. But I can't imagine anyone being more tense choosing between these two countries.
I've gone for Northern Ireland.
God damn it, I've gone for Northern
yes!
Ireland.
So oh!
What is it?
Northern Ireland, yeah.
Oh. Well, it means Tom gets a point.
Yes. You're welcome, Tom.
So 4-1 to you, I think. Well done.
Yeah.
Someone's 4-1. Finally beaten Craig at the quiz.
Tom's only point all season comes when Andy steps, when someone actually steps in for him.
I was not prepared to be feeling that tense tonight.
That kind of torture. Before we do, by the way, Ash, a good quiz.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great quiz.
It's going to tip us over the edge in the competition, I think. Awards.
It was a really fun twist on the coin flip.
Yeah, it really was.
Classic coin
flip. If the FBAs happen to listen, they'll be like, get these guys in a gong.
Yeah.
Get them a gong right now. Before we go, though, we should have a quick look, at the fixtures. And Ash, Andy, if there's anything that sticks out of changes that you think you might make or any tips what people should make if you've used yours already. Are there any fixtures from this week that kind of stand out that you think could be a good place for points, really? Because obviously teams like Liverpool are already being quite erratic and Chelsea, etc. So... is there anything there, Andy?
Well, I mean, Liverpool on their sort of game on, game off form that they're doing, probably going to have a good game against Norwich. So maybe Benteke might be one to watch. And do you know what? It's just the sort of fixture that Chelsea might just start to come good in as well.
Yeah.
Callum Wilson against Sunderland at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
and from your point of view about Swansea, do you think Everton, obviously it's a horrible time to play them. You've just played badly. They just played... outstanding.
Well, they're a bogey team for us. We always do badly against them. So maybe the fact that...
Does it count as a bogey team if they're just historically better than you, though? That's not a...
Well, I mean, you say that, but we were quite close in terms of league position last season. But, I mean, we just always... It doesn't matter what form we're on, how well we're playing, we just never turn up against them. But I think given the fact that we had such a bad performance last week, he'll probably bring Montero in. We'll get a bit of a kick up the arse. So I think we might be all right, actually. It might be our best performance against them for a while.
Ash, are there any games that you think there's some transfer ins, or even if you can't make them, any standout games for points?
Not at all. It's a really difficult week. My team, I was hoping when we looked at this, I was going to get inspired. It's so difficult because all my players, like the players we're playing against, Man City have got West Ham, which is probably not too bad. But then the teams they're playing against, it's Chelsea, Arsenal, Everton, Man United, City.
Yeah.
Like, no one's got an easy game. And then the rubbish teams are all playing each other as well, so it's so difficult to pick.
Yeah, I don't know where goals are coming. I feel like the season hasn't really taken full form yet.
No.
Who's going to perform and who's not, with the exceptions of people like Mahrez. And Stoke aren't going to be that much of an obstacle to stop Leicester playing that kind of football that they're playing. So the chances are, you know, it's not much of a tip, though, because if you've got Mahrez and Vardy, you ain't getting rid of them this week. And if you haven't got them, you're probably not going to bring them in. So, or you already have. You don't need us to tell you that. So.
Probably if you've not got Wilson yet, it's probably quite a good time to get him in.
Yes. I think Wilson's probably not bad. Bearing in mind, he didn't do anything last week, so he won't have shot up in value anymore. And I think it's just people waiting and seeing, praying that Harry Kane finally scores, that Aguero, if he plays, suddenly scores. If Chelsea suddenly keep a clean sheet.
Well, Harry Kane is like the fifth or sixth most expensive striker now this season.
Well, he's lost the appeal last year, isn't he? He was cheap this year. What's the appeal? There's no points and he costs money. So, you know, you're almost better off. I had Giroud come off the bench.
Yeah.
That would have been better. But tweet us. Tweet us what you're going to do, what your changes are. And tweet us your teams before the deadline with your hashtag balls, as usual. It's not a Friday night kickoff, so there's no need to rush the team in on a Friday night. But remember those ones, and we'll obviously keep you posted. Tweet us your betting slips. You can also email us, info@thegaffertapes.com. And please do tweet to nominate us for the FBAs. As we have had Andy here, we should actually let you quickly plug. So we genuinely do have some American listeners. Kilo 2 Bravo.
Yeah, well, Kilo 2 Bravo, as it's now known, it's been at the Toronto International Film Festival this week. It's showed a couple of nights ago and it's shown again in a couple of days. And then it's got its North American release in the USA in November, I think. So keep an eye out.
Perfect, yeah.
In theatres.
So Evan Brady, Timmy Wallace Brady, our other American listeners, have a look out for that. Starring Andy Gibbons, Mark Stanley from Game of Thrones and a few other people. So check that out.
Wait a minute. I forgot about Tim as well as Brady when we were doing Gaffer Gambler. He's probably the only person that'll understand. I bet on the Patriots and Gronkowski to win 140 quid.
Yeah.
He'll be the only person who gets it.
You placed a bet off your own accord.
On NFL.
On a different sport. Yeah. Well, to be honest, we've taken up NFL, actually. Andy and I are Cowboys fans.
Oh, really?
We've made a conscious effort to get into it.
Have you got a fantasy football team?
Mate, no, I don't know enough yet. Give it next year. We'll have a new podcast and we'll call it something else ingenious. It'll be the Gaffer Tapes USA. That's what we normally do, isn't it? It'll be something really original like that.
And you'll be replaced by Mark Levett from The Chase.
Yeah,
Mark Levett will be on it, exactly. He probably could play football, but yeah, it'll be something really good. Give me an hour and I'll come up with a pun. We haven't got time for that now, but I'll have a pun there eventually. But America listens, tweet us, actually. We want to know.
We want your fantasy football tips.
Fantasy football tips to get us into it. And also, MLS is a great hunting ground for betting for Gaffer Gamblers, so that's always good. But that's pretty much all we've got time for this week. But remember, tweet us at The Gaffer Tapes, email us info@thegaffertapes.com. But for now, that's all we've got time for. So thank you and goodbye.